Welcome to a Sober Girls Guide podcast, a lifestyle podcast based on sobriety and recovery. I'm your host and sober girl, Jessica Jabot. Inspired by my own sobriety and wellness journey, I want to spread the wealth of knowledge. Tune in each week for uncensored conversations about mental health, self-development, wellness and spirituality, and how they influence each guest's unique recovery journey. My goal is to educate and inspire and to let you know you are not alone on your recovery journey. Thanks so much for tuning in to a Sober Girls Guide podcast. Let's go! Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 206 of a Sober Girls Guide podcast. Get ready for a super high dose of sobriety positivity. Sam Bale is the owner of Third Place Bar, and she is here to share her story and break down why she loves sobriety and how to stop overthinking, changing your relationship with alcohol, and just do it. Sam is creating fun, exciting, and safe spaces for New Yorkers to socialize booze-free. This is such a fantastic episode. Let's get into it. Sam, what's going on? How are you?
Hey, Jessica. I am very well. Thank you very much.
So, funny situation. I have been looking for more and more women to come on the podcast because, listen, I love men. Huge fan of men. Love them to death. But I want to focus on women and women's business and like just promoting the gals going. And then I came across your email and I'm like, oh my God, Sam. And I'm like, wait, is it a guy? Is it a girl? And then I like Googled you and Third Place Bar. I'm like, oh my God, she's a woman. Yes. Like perfect. And she has a bar in New York. This is amazing. This is like meant to be. So Sam, I'm so, so excited to talk to you about your journey and Third Place Bar and what you guys got going on there. But let's start it off. I want to know how you identify. What's your relationship with alcohol?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I'm super excited to be chatting with you. So first of all, I am German. Lots of people always like wonder where my accent is from. I hear like lots of weird stuff, Hawaii, Midwest. No, I'm German. Okay. Lost my accent at some point, but everyone always asks. So, and I don't know if that's known, but the legal age for drinking in Germany, like for drinking beer and wine, is 16. Yeah. So,
what?
So I just started drinking when I was 15. And then as soon as I was 16, I was going to bars and pubs and clubs and everything. And just drinking, you know, having my beers on like a whatever Thursday night with my friends, like perfectly legal.
Yeah.
So I started drinking like pretty early. And the funny thing is people always say, oh yeah, so Germans and Europeans, they have such a healthy relationship with alcohol because they start drinking legally early. No, I got trashed. I was a binge drinker from like a fairly early age. I have these like memories of like, you know, this is really terrible, but like asking my mom to buy me a bottle of vodka or something, you know, when I was 17, because liquor, like hard liquor, is only legal from 18, and like just getting absolutely trashed with my friends like upstairs in my bedroom while my parents were downstairs, stuff like that. So not the greatest like relationship. I also had some, you know, some experience in my family. My stepdad is an alcoholic, which, you know, always put a strain on our relationship. He's a lovely person, but that, you know, just was always really a big issue for me and for our relationship. So
yeah,
kind of just grew up with like alcohol around me, and like very quickly and very early got into binge drinking legally, which is kind of crazy if you think about it. And then
it's 15, 16, like,
right?
Wow.
Yeah. And that continued throughout college. I do think like college drinking culture in Germany is a little more low key than in, than it is in the US.
We're pretty ragey.
It's less ragey. It's more like a very consistent, and we go out late, but it's definitely less ragey. We don't have like most, I don't know if this is like part of that. Like I'm just hypothesizing, but like most, schools in Germany don't have like a campus. They don't have dorms. Like people usually live in private accommodations. They just rent apartments.
Okay.
There's fraternities, there's no sororities, so there's no like the opportunity for like a very large group of young people to be in a place together and get very, very drunk, or just like a little less, a little smaller. So mostly like
Right.
smaller parties, or like hanging out at a friend's house with like five or six other people. So not like the insane ragers. Or maybe I was just like really boring in college and was never invited. Who knows? That just continued, and like my experience with alcohol, just thinking back to like the last 20 years, basically is just a lot of binge drinking, a lot of doing dumb shit when I was drunk, fights, lots of drunk fighting, so much drunk fighting, a lot of moods, very extreme mood swings on and off. So that kind of just continued into, I'm 37 now, that just continued into my 30s, and it never really changed. I never got to a place though where I said, oh, I'm going to stop drinking, where I was like concerned about quitting drinking for good. I would take like a week or two off times, but it was never it was never at the point. I never felt the need necessarily to drink. I genuinely remember like maybe a handful of times where I had like a crazy day at work or whatever, where I said like, oh man, I need a drink. But other than that, I'm like just total party drinker, just like, yeah,
So
let's
more
just
social drinker.
super social, super party. Never drink alone, in part because my stepdad would always just drink alone in his room, and it just seems really sad to me. So I was like, this is not doing that. Also because I'm kind of, it's not that exciting for me, honestly. It's really boring to just be drunk by myself. Like I want to party, right? Like I want to have like social connection. And at some point, I live in New York City. It's very work hard, party hard, just go out every night. And at some point I realized I was going out and was going to bars just for like the social connection, just to like talk to the bartender, talk to the people next to me, like meet the regulars, meet their dogs, that kind of like just have that connection. And I just did not want to drink anymore. I didn't want to feel like I should be drinking. I wanted to have like the social connection without feeling like, oh, it's kind of weird if I have a seltzer.
Like
And it felt,
obligated to drink.
yeah, exactly. And then a lot of other stuff came together, like a couple of relationships with people who had some drinking issues, lots of drunk fights. It's worst. And my emotional state was like really out of whack, just lots of mood swings, and it kind of got chaotic. At the same time, I was training for the New York City Marathon last year, trying to balance a marathon training with like drinking and
Drinking?
hangovers as well. Just like I did like a bunch of like 20-mile runs hungover, which was brutal.
Death.
Yeah, I did really well in a marathon itself though, because it was easier because I'd stopped drinking for a few weeks before that, and I was like, oh, I'm feeling so fresh.
Weird. I
Weird,
wonder
yeah,
why.
right. Yeah, and that all just like culminated in me sort of, looking more into sobriety, looking more into listening to podcasts about sobriety, and hearing people for the first time really for me that we're talking about the exact same drinking behaviors that I had, which is not, I'm an alcoholic, I destroyed my life, I hit rock bottom, I lost my job, I lost my wife, I lost everything, kind of, which is like a typical story that I thought had to happen in order for you to stop drinking. But it's just people that are like, I can go days and weeks without drinking, but when I drink, things aren't great.
Yeah, shit hits the fan.
Exactly. And I was like, oh, wait, so I can stop drinking even if it's not like super urgent, like if it's not an emergency, kind of. Like, I was high functioning, training for a marathon, have a job, have my own apartment, things are going fine. It's like, oh, this is crazy. Okay, let's stop drinking. And then I stopped drinking, and this was literally only 4 months ago. And my like almost like every time I think about how much better I feel after only 4 months, like my brain just completely like explodes. It's incredible. I do not understand what happened, because my life is pretty much the same. I still have the same job, I live in the same apartment, you know what I mean? but I made it through a New York City winter, probably being the happiest I've ever been.
Whoa.
And it's just crazy. I keep saying, like, after, you know, after 20 years of messing with my brain chemistry, maybe I'm just getting to like a normal state, which might even be like pretty happy for me.
Yeah. Oh my God, Lord. You can be happy. Go figure. Right? Yeah, you deserve to be happy. That's a so concept.
Yeah, so that's kind of the story.
So how do you identify? Like, do you identify as like a sober girl? Like, what? Would you label yourself, or what do you?
I usually just say I don't drink.
Okay.
You think again, like, sober kind of to me means also, like, you know, I might get canceled for that, but I'm not like 100% sober in the sense that I don't have any alcohol whatsoever. You know, I occasionally, if a friend of mine has like a really nice cocktail or whatever, I'll take a little, and that's for me perfectly okay. And I know everyone deals with their sobriety like completely differently. Everyone has different triggers, everyone has different sensitivities. For me, it was shockingly easy to quit drinking. And I'm feeling really, really comfortable in my sobriety. So I'm 100% sure that just having a sip here and there, like, you know, once every 2 weeks to taste a drink, and also because, you know, I'm in the industry, I guess, I'm in the beverage business. Occasionally tasting like a drink for comparison, for example, with a non-alcoholic drink, it kind of just happens. So, you know, I say I don't drink alcohol. It doesn't mean that, you know, I'm not sober in a sense, like go into AA, go into meetings, or it's not necessarily the most important thing for me, because it's almost like I stop eating tomatoes. It's kind of like that. Like, I just don't eat tomatoes, right? I'm not like sober from tomatoes, but I eat tomatoes because they upset my stomach and I feel a lot better. I actually stopped drinking caffeine last year, and it's kind of like that.
Oh yeah, caffeine is like wild. Depends on what kind of caffeine. I've gotten into like green tea or like matcha. Love matcha.
Yeah.
Obsessed.
I do matcha still. I do green tea. I do black teas. I do teas and stuff every once in a while, especially for my.
It's
like,
so different than like runs. Than coffee caffeine though.
The last time quote unquote drunk called my ex, it wasn't actually, I wasn't drunk. I had a cold brew.
Oh.
It made it made me so crazy. It made me anxious, made me hyperactive. It made my brain was just like working in overdrive. It was crazy. I am extremely, it turns out I'm very sensitive to caffeine. I still use it occasionally for like my, you know, my runs, my training runs. It's fantastic. Again, like running New York City Marathon, I pounded like a can of Celsius and it was beautiful.
Yeah.
But just like having coffee and then sitting around, like sitting home alone, I would do something.
Or like on an empty stomach.
Oh
good
my God.
Day. No. Good day. No, mm-mm. No way. It's so interesting, like how different substances can affect our bodies. And I think I really love your story because it isn't so extreme. Everyone has their own way of coming, you know, to change their relationship with alcohol. I think listening to your story is really important because it doesn't have to reach a rock bottom situation. You don't have to get a DUI. You don't have to lose this, that, and the other for you to make changes. And I think that's really important to hear, you know, because I think we have this like Hollywood or this like fantasy kind of version of what, first of all, what a sober person is supposed to look like or act like, and then like what their relationship from there on and with like substances and alcohol in general is supposed to look like complete abstinence or like complete, you know, it has to, it's very different for everybody. And I think that's really important to showcase that. And it's just, this isn't a one size fits all situation. Like it sounds like within these couple of months or maybe beyond that you have really like tapped into what you are and how you need to function and what you want and need in your life.
Yeah,
that's fair to say.
I'm thinking, like, when you say Hollywood, I'm thinking of A Star Is Born, right? Like Bradley Cooper hitting rock bottom, being a complete, you know, mess and destroying lives, destroying himself and everything. And like, again, there are so many, this is kind of why I'm starting to get increasingly passionate about talking about my own sobriety. It's actually really funny. Like month one, I did like 1 month and I literally have like a TikTok of myself going like, well, you know, I've been sober for a month, but like, whatever, it doesn't make a big difference. Like I didn't lose any weight. I didn't have a glow up. My skin isn't, you know, any different. Like, I don't know. Like it doesn't really make a big difference if you don't drink that much to begin with. And now after 4 months or 4.5 months, I'm starting to preach.
I'm like, you're like, actually, I retract all those statements.
Yeah, so I'm like, but it's also interesting to see the progression that like a single month might not make that big a difference, especially for people like me that were sort of on and off drinkers.
Yeah.
Especially the physical aspects aren't that different. Like I still, you know, I was running a marathon. I was running, you know, 4 times a week. Take care of myself pretty well. I eat fairly well and everything. So the physical aspects of quitting drinking weren't that big for me. It's just the mental and emotional change is absolutely, it's super crazy for me. And that's getting so passionate about talking about it because you know, people are always very willing to cut out gluten, cut out dairy, cut out whatever it is, processed foods and all that. Like everyone is very, you know, health conscious or trying to do like meditate, journal, do all these things. And I feel like we're often missing the thing that's right in front of us, which is alcohol, which is, you know, it's a poison. Right. And especially for people like me that have been drinking for 10, 15, 20 years, pretty regularly, it doesn't have to be a ton, even doesn't have to be a lot.
Yeah.
You know, if you think about it, you're messing with your brain chemistry, and it is, I think it's so worth for everyone, even if they're feeling okay and they're not worried about their drinking, to maybe say, hey, let's take a break for a few months and see what happens and see, you know, who I am without that chemical just messing with my brain and my body on a fairly regular basis. And that's why I'm so passionate, so excited about telling people, because it made such a huge difference for me. And I would love for other people to maybe see that too. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just like the only person who had such a, like, you know, epiphany and enlightenment, and everyone else is like, yeah, whatever. No.
I'm right there with you. I'm down with it. Clearly. No, and I think I love that. I think it's really nice. Like it's a great experiment too, right? Like we know alcohol's not going anywhere. And we're not here, you know, certainly not here to convert anyone, but more just like the opportunity and showing you like what, you know, can happen or what might need to happen if you're not feeling great about where you are right now. And that's okay to be not feeling okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't have to have everything figured out right now, but removing certain little obstacles that are in your way, like drinking, can really bring forth some like really profound, I mean, I can attest to that, clarity, you know, getting to know yourself. And that's kind of like, isn't that the name of the game of life, is like getting to know who you are and what you need and want in your life, and then getting that.
like I said, I keep saying, like, I think for the first time since I started drinking over 20 years ago, I'm sort of getting closer to who I actually am as a person. And isn't that crazy? Like, if you think about it, that's like, I'm like one step closer to enlightenment here. I mean, you know, I'm still nowhere near, I don't know, the amazing enlightened person. I still don't get up at 5 a.m. and journal and meditate. I sleep forever. I'm a night owl. I eat crappy food sometimes. I don't do as much exercise or yoga, whatever as I'm supposed to do, right? Like, I'm still like a normal person, but I'm just removed the one thing that made that whole situation worse.
Yeah. So, and like that much harder.
Harder.
It doesn't have to be. Like, it just doesn't have to be that hard.
Yeah.
I think also true enlightenment isn't being a perfect person. I sure as hell do not get up at 5 a.m. Like, I think being like a true enlightenment is like finding what, again, works for you, like works with you as opposed to like against you, like leaning into like, okay, I'm a night owl, like knowing that, even knowing like how you learn or how, you know, like how you love, how you talk to yourself, how you are in relationships. Those are huge, like very, very valuable pieces of information that are going to help you progress and like just enjoy life that much more. That's all we can really ask for.
Preach.
Right? Like,
absolutely.
It's not like we're only here for like so long. Like, we got to have a good time when we're doing it.
Yeah. That was also part of the reason kind of why I stopped drinking. You know, I'm 37 years old, and like at some point I was like, damn, I might be halfway through my life. You know, I'm getting old and I'm only here for so long. That's exactly what I said. I don't have that much time left. I should try and make the best of it, and I should try and you know, and I'm totally not one of those people who's like optimize your life and all those like the whole whatever biohacking people and the 4-hour work week and all that. Like, I'm just like, no, let me be lazy, let me be sober and lazy. You know, that's actually, I kind of want to start that. Can we start
a trend? Sober and lazy. Yes,
let me I'm already sober, that's enough, right?
Yeah.
I don't need to do any more than that, but That's kind of what I realized. I thought, you know, I don't have that much time left. How can I get closer to sort of that state of, you know, and I think the big thing for me is almost like peace and balance, where my life isn't just like a crazy up and down, and just get a little bit closer to sort of the center of who I am, what I want to do, how I can use my time in a valuable way. How can you help other people? To make the best of this like meat sack and the squishy brain that happens to be on this planet.
Yeah, definitely. But I understand, like, when you were talking about, you know, the emotional turmoil and that roller coaster, you know, like those really, really high highs and low lows, and you know, all like drama, and which can be categorized as excitement sometimes, you know, that in itself is hard to withdraw for, or like untangle, let's say, like your mind and getting used to like peace, which people may confuse boredom for peace, right?
Yeah.
How did you find like that whole situation work out for you?
So one thing that I also, it's funny, I have strong opinions. So let me be lazy. The other thing is also like, I still, I'm sort of, there's this little bit of a trend, I guess, of a lot of people in sobriety in that space talking about, you know, and then I'm home Friday night at 8 o'clock, and I do my skincare routine, and I just sit at home in my pajamas and watch Netflix, and I'm so happy with that. And that's great for them. But I feel like it almost just perpetuates that stereotype that if you're sober, you're automatically boring and you can't ever go out and you can't have fun anymore. And
that's isolating. Sort of what
you're isolated. Exactly. And you know, what's the one thing everyone wants the most in life is social connection, probably. I don't know, I'm an extrovert,
100%
for others, but we want some social connection, right? And and that might actually be off-putting for a lot of people that, again, are sort of like me, maybe slightly questionable drinking behavior, but not necessarily too problematic, and that would benefit hugely just not drinking. But it might be off-putting to think like, oh, I'm going to lose my social life and I'm just going to be sitting at home doing my skincare routine every weekend. Like, that, I don't want.
So totally. One thing
trying to do is to just show people that you can, you know, you can still have fun. Like I have on my TikTok and Instagram, you know, just so many collages, so many clips of my weekends, just, you know, doing all this stuff, doing the art galleries and so many concerts, so many live shows, going clubbing, going to drag brunch, doing all these things. And the only difference from like my life 6 months ago, a year ago, is that I just don't drink alcohol. Like the only difference is that the drink I have in my hand is a different drink.
Yeah.
Right. That
totally.
Is the only difference in everything else. And maybe that I'm, you know, not hungover anymore. Or dumb stuff. So maybe that's benefit overall. But that's literally the only difference. And again, this is for me personally, because I'm totally fine around people who drink. I feel very comfortable in spaces where alcohol is being served. And obviously that can be very different for a lot of other people. But for me, I'm absolutely loving it. Like I love going out. I go out more than I used to because I'm not hungover anymore, because I have more energy.
Whoa. You know? That's awesome.
I can literally go out every single night because I'm not going to be hungover and exhausted. I don't know. I hope that stops at some point. I do way too much.
You're like, someone rein this lady in. Get her a dog or something. Like, get her something to like look after.
Right. I did get food poisoning last week, and I had to lay low like almost all. And I was like, that's actually not too bad. So you know,
that's hilarious.
Yeah, my body just takes care of that sometimes. But I have so much, and I enjoy it so much, and I love going out and meeting people and having all these experiences, because I know that I'm enjoying them not just because I'm drinking and because there's alcohol involved or other substances, but because it's real, but because it's actual, real, genuine, you know, enjoyable thing, or a genuine connection that I have with another person. Like the easiest thing to do is, like, you know, you meet someone, some other person, and you just hit it right off, right? And you're chatting, having a great time. You think, yeah, they're super cool. And then taking a step back and realizing, and I'm totally sober, and that other person's totally sober, and we like each other because we're actually cool and not just because we're drunk. And, we're best friends ever, right? Yeah. Like, how crazy is that? Isn't that amazing? Like, to me, that is one of the most mind-blowing things that has happened, where, you know, I meet friends, I meet, you know, people I might go on dates with, and you just have that connection, and it's actually real, and it's not just, do I really like this person, or was I just like,
because it's like fantasy or made up.
Exactly.
It's like, when you're describing that, it seems so like innocent. You know, like almost like when kids like are getting along or meet each other for the first time, and they like really genuinely like each other, have like a good time playing together.
That's me. I'm like just regressing to like being like, I'm very like bright. I think, I don't know, maybe this is also like pink clouds, I don't know. I'm very excited. Excited about it. It's almost, because, you know, again, it's been 20 years. I'm almost reliving the last 20 years and re-experiencing meeting people, going to concerts, going clubbing, doing all these things, but doing it sober and experiencing it with completely, you know, fresh eyes. And it's really exciting for me. I'm totally leaning into it. And again, that's just one thing that I want people to consider, like people who are thinking of like, oh, maybe I should quit drinking. If they are comfortable with their own sobriety, if they're comfortable around people that drink or in spaces where alcohol is served, try and go out, try and party, right? Like, try and party sober and see how it goes. And maybe you actually enjoy it, and maybe that is your thing, and maybe that will actually make you stick with it more than sitting at home and watching Netflix will do, right? Like, I can totally
see being isolated.
Being isolated, thinking they're like, you know, wasting their life, just being alone. So maybe that's like a really cool option. Speaking of which, I'm literally talking to someone and organizing a sober bar crawl next week.
Probably. No way.
Yeah.
We're
going to hit up a few of the sober bars in New York City. Yeah. And we're probably also going to hit up like two or three, you know, sort of like fratty sports bars maybe, and just like pound our non-alcoholic beers, right? Like hit that high zero.
Take it over.
And just like be silly and do like a non-alc bar crawl on a Saturday afternoon. We're currently discussing a dress code, even, you know. Like, why not? Like, you can do the same things you do. If they're fun and if they're with fun people, you can do the exact same thing. Just the drink that you have in your hand is different. And if the thing that you're doing is absolutely no fun and you don't like the people that you're around, unless you drink, you know, maybe that's a
change it.
Solve like maybe that's something to consider, right?
Yeah, but it's also like good information, right? Like, this is all kind of an experiment. This is all we're all taking in data, you know, like, okay, what works, what doesn't work right now? Cool. Then we can pivot, we can make adjustments, we can make a different choice, and we're going to get a different outcome.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is, again, like one of the reasons why I'm so excited. It's like, it feels almost like an experiment.
Yeah.
Like, I try out so many different non-alcoholic drinks, you know, I go to different events, I meet different people. It's a whole new world. I'm doing like the Aladdin thing.
A whole new world.
Right? It's kind of like that. And it's,
I love it.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so great. Talk to me about Third Place Bar. How did that come to be? What do we got going on there?
Okay, so Third Place Bar is a series of non-alcoholic events, social events, bar pop-ups in New York City. Started running them last December. We had like a launch party in December, and then I started doing every Friday in January because dry January. And then I've been running maybe like a couple of events every weekend.
Yeah.
Sorry, a couple of events a month. For the past few months. The idea, so Third Place really just came out of this whole, you know, I hang out at bars a lot and because I want that social connection, but at some point I realized I just don't want to drink anymore. I don't want to drink that. It doesn't make me feel good. It's a Monday night. Why am I drinking 3 tequila sodas already? I have to get up early tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
And there are no spaces in New York City after hours there that kind of have like the vibe maybe of a bar, like a social space, that don't revolve around alcohol. You know, there's not even that many late night coffee shops or anything. And I still feel coffee shops are also a different vibe. Like, you
totally different vibe.
A lot of coffee shop, but like the bar itself as like the physical object of a bar, if you sit at the bar, that almost signals you're willing to chat with the people next to you, willing to chat to the bartender, right? It's a very different sort of social interaction than a coffee shop where you're going to sit at like a two top somewhere in a corner. No one's going to sit there next or sit at your table. That's weird, right? At a bar, if someone's
a little like intrusive.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Yeah.
So we kind of wanted to just have that because I love the vibe, and like bars, dive bars are definitely my third place. We're not familiar with the concept of a third place. It basically means any place outside your work or your home, like your first.
Oh,
your well, other way around. Your home is place, your work is your second place, and the third place is any place outside of that that fosters social connections.
Cool. Okay, I love that.
Coming from a sociologist, that not I did not make that up. It's from the '70s. The idea is that a lot of social, a lot of third places are, you know, like community groups, clubs. Back in the day, it was like unions, maybe, right? Clubhouses. Yeah. But it could also be like the local cafe, the local coffee shop, the local bar, the pub. The even like a salon, like a hair salon, right? That like any kind of community space where the barbers, right? You know,
barbers, totally. Gotcha.
Hang out and you kind of have your regulars, you know, the people,
the country club.
Exactly, the country club. Not as cool as I. so that's kind of that's kind of the idea behind like the name Third Place.
Cool.
And I really just said like, well, there's nothing there, so I'm just gonna do it myself because that's what I do.
Love it. I'm
a very DIY kind of person. And yeah, it's been going great. I've been meeting a ton of amazing people. And again, like I'm sober and I'm meeting so many amazing sober people. And I'm so excited to have met all these like wonderful people. And you just connect, obviously, like people are like very vulnerable almost immediately. So there's some maybe trauma bonding occasionally too, because like you start sharing your sobriety stories like pretty quickly, because that's kind of what brings you together. You're also just meet fantastic people that have, you know, a lot of self-awareness, have been working on themselves, and are just like really excited to have that social space to kind of be like, you know, do fun stuff together. We've had a trivia night that was out of control.
That's fun.
It was so busy. It was so funny. We had a comedy show. Like, imagine a sober comedy show. People laughed, you know. Like, I don't know if I was
genuinely laughing, genuinely thinking things funny.
And they're not, they didn't just laugh because they were drunk, but people laughed because performers were actually funny. We're gonna have a sober friend speed meet.
Cool.
Dating, but like platonic. This Friday. There's a ton of other stuff I'm planning. You know, we had a few events that were literally just bar hangs, where it's literally just, here's a space to bring your friends, bring a date, or stop by yourself, chat with me, chat with a bartender. So it's like a mix of kind of types of events. The general theme, I would say, is just like neighborhood bar, you know, like neighborhood bar hangs, comedy show, trivia night. So very laid back. It's not necessarily like a night out. I don't charge for a lot of the events, or I charge a very, very low fee, like $5 or $10, to make it super accessible. So the idea is really to just, you know, keep it cute, keep it low key, keep it chill, keep it fun.
I love that. Do you find that like most people show up with someone, or are there a lot of solo people?
It's a mix. I would definitely, I've seen it all. I've seen people on dates, which makes me very, very happy.
That's cute.
Either like actual dates or people bringing their partners. I've seen people who bring their groups of friends, which is the cutest thing. Like a lot of young people. That bring like, you know, I don't drink, and like my friends want to go to a bar, but I figured I'll take them here because, you know, then there's something for me too. And it was so cute. Like, I've definitely had that. Love young people. I've had solo people come, also lots of my friends obviously that stop by because they know I'm there. So like it's a pretty, pretty big mix. I'd say most people bring other people. Like the majority, but I've definitely also had like solo people stop by, and I'm always there. I'm always like the hostess with the mostest, sort of hovering around, chatting with people and everything, and just want to make sure people have like a good time and want to come back and like feel like they've kind of found their community.
It's so important to find like-minded people. Like, it's so powerful when you find people you just click with. It's really magical. Sam, where on the World Wide Web can we find you and Third Place Bar?
So we have a website that's literally thirdplacebar.nyc.
Okay.
We have an Instagram that's at thirdplacebar.nyc, no dots or anything.
Okay.
We have a TikTok. If you want to see me fail at social media, check out TikTok. It's also thirdplacebar.nyc. It's the hardest. I don't know why I'm doing this. I'm like trying to be cool with like the young people, and it's just, it's embarrassing. But
girl, you are cool. You're not trying. You're there. You're showing up. You're doing the thing.
I'm doing the thing. So those are like the three, I think, sources. I think I'm most active on Instagram, so people can, you know, I post about events, but I also just post about like sobriety and like quitting drinking in general, sort of, you know, for people that are sober curious or just want to learn more about sort of what to expect at the events. And then the main thing I would say is people, when they go on the website, they can sign up for our mailing list, which is information for upcoming events. So we have one event this week, and then I'm actually taking a month off because I'm traveling, and I also just break. I still have a full-time job. It's exhausting.
And then
we're gonna be back in full force in June with a couple of events. If you want to know more, sign up for the mailing list on the website, thirdplacebar.nyc. and you get all the events and everything in your inbox. I'll probably also be sharing out some other stuff. There's really cool stuff going on in New York City in general. You know, there's Rachel's over in Central Park. There's Absence of Proof, obviously. There's Hecate. There's a new Sober Speakeasy that just opened.
Ooh.
I'm curious. There's Double Zero Social Club. There's a lot of sober events in New York City. So I'll probably also be, you know, giving them shout outs in the newsletter. So yeah.
Great.
Just stay in the loop.
Awesome. Well, Sam, thank you so, so much for sharing your experience and your knowledge with us. This has been so great. And honestly, like, your excitement and your energy about like being alcohol free is so contagious. I just love it. I love your point of view. It's so great to hear. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Jessica. This has been great. Yeah, I'm so excited. I don't know. I'm getting even more excited. Like every day, I'm just getting more and more excited about it. I don't know what's happening.
That's great. That's fantastic. Don't question it. Just roll with it, girl.
Awesome. I'm leaning into it, heavy.
Lean into it.
How great is Sam? And I love that she's finding joy and allowing herself to be happy in changing her relationship with alcohol, whatever that looks like. And for you listening, I know it's not always this easy all the time. We're human. This is life. Ebbs, flows, ups, downs. Sometimes it's sideways. Making changes is hard. It's just uncomfortable. It is. But you know what's really uncomfortable? Staying in the same damn place, doing the same damn thing. So if you are ready to change your relationship with alcohol, or not even if you're ready, if you are just thinking about changing your relationship with alcohol, head to asobergirlsguide.com. We have tips, tricks for whatever stage of your booze-free journey. We got your back, girl. Thank you so much for listening. Please make sure to rate, subscribe, leave your feedback about the podcast. We love to see your comments. And of course, sharing is caring. If you think this episode or other episodes of the podcast could help a friend, family member, loved one, please make sure to hit that share button. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at A Sober Girls Guide. And like I said before, head to asobergirlsguide.com for tips, tricks, whatever stage of your booze-free journey. We got your back. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day.